Good morning. We starting with the meeting. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Deputy Minister, acting DG, and the team. My name is Mandla Khai. I'm the chairperson of the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development. Khai is spelled R-A-Y-I.
Mr. Rai.
Khai. I'll ask honorable members to introduce themselves and then ask the DM and the department. Honorable Makua.
Can you use the mic, please?
What is that?
My name is Mokosin Shawana from Free State.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Wimoto Terry.
Morning, colleagues. My name is Hoshin Wagwebo from the Eastern Cape.
Good morning. My name is Jacques Long from the Western Cape.
Good morning. Willem Favre from the Northern Cape.
Yep. Yep.
Morning, honorable members. I am Mandela Masuzi, the Deputy Minister of Economic Development. I'm with the acting DG, Mr. Simpson. He is going to introduce the whole team. Will be right.
Good morning. Thank you for the invitation to come. The team is Len Favey, policy analyst and economist, Lawrence Mokokwana, who is the CD of our corporate management, Steve Laflane, who is the chief financial officer, and Duma Nkosi, well known to this parliamentary precinct, who is acting DDG of social dialogue. Two other team members will probably join after they've finished with the minister who is presenting to the portfolio committee at the moment or responding to National Growth Path questions. So thanks again, and we'll enjoy the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me also take this opportunity to welcome a new member of the committee, Honorable Shabangu from the Free State. Yeah, welcome. With regard to the apology, we have received an apology from the Minister of Economic Development. There is another meeting, I think two floors from here, a portfolio committee of the NA on Economic Development. But also would like to take this opportunity to thank the department or the ministry for agreeing, because initially we were supposed to be meeting today with ITC, but we were informed that the CEO is not available today. So we had to swap dates, brought forward to your date. So we thank you for agreeing to that arrangement. We will now hand over to the department overview from the DM, and then let them take it from there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the opportunity once more for the department to come and share what is it that we do to respond to the triple challenges that the country is facing. We have had a number of interactions during the quarter. There were specific programs that we elaborated so much. In this session, which is an annual session, we have we normally decide that it's better to talk about more on the outcome than the hard issues. In the presentation, we realize that when we present our presentation, it will be looking at the presentation itself. It will have some specifics again, but we won't spend much time on it. We would like at this point just to emphasize more on the outcomes and the impacts. We have decided this time that we're going to do a little bit of an analysis around what impact it do to processes, whatever we do. So that's basically what we'll be doing. So in that presentation, our presentation as we do that, we'll point out that in terms of the work that the department has done, it has spent 99.8% of its resources, and it has met all the targets that it has set itself. And the pressure that we have put again on us, and the pressure that we put into the administration has made us the administration to work even more harder, and in the process managed to make a reality on the 68 more targets. So basically our presentation will be the outline of our presentation will be like that, talking about the broader economic context, and then we'll talk about the kind of strategy, the focus that we actually look at when we now aggregate the actions that have taken over time. Our APP, we did indicate that it is underpinned by 6 I's, which we're going to elaborate on as we present. And then we'll just highlight a little bit of the work that we have done. And then we'll go into all these I's, and then we'll zoom into the impact that it has made in our economy and in provinces in particular. We'll then go into a little bit of the APP and comment on how we feel we've performed on it, the organizational structure, and also the our response to and our finances. Just kicking off, just to remind ourselves that today, as we stand, in the last year, in all the activities that we've been involved in as a country, it has resulted in us increasing the growth, reaching the growth point of 1.3%, and that 1.3 has managed to give us 2,004 jobs. Increase 2,004 jobs, bringing us to 15.6 million. And 6.8 of which are women, and 6.2 are youth. And we've seen investment growing at 5.7%. And then our infrastructure spend now, within this year, out of the 1.3 trillion that we have reflected over a longer period, this year only we did spend 269 billion, and in manufacturing has added 475.5 billion, but you will see that as we go on, that manufacturing is an area in agriculture where we have actually declined. Agricultural value is 85.1 billion. So we want to point out that besides the good reflection that we have done in the first slide, you realize that manufacturing, utilities, and agriculture have declined during this period. So if we say in our 9-point plan, manufacturing is key through industrialization program, we can recall that we are not moving so far in this area. There are various reasons that may be given. And we want to also point out that one of the things that are critical when we talk about growth and when we talk about the well-being of your economy is issues around investment. And just point to the members that our net effect on our foreign direct investment, it is showing a continuous decline, which is something that we are working on to get it up. The two green and red has got just to do with foreign direct investment in and foreign direct out, and the net effect is your blue line. We just project a little bit just to show how are we performing in general in terms of our employment. You would see that the lines are showing in general? How have you been in South Africa and how, since 2008, and what is it that has happened or over time? If you look at that line, it will tell you that unemployment has actually has been increasing slightly and slightly more radical than our employment creation, net employment creation. If you look at the green part, it's the one on those who are discouraged. If you look at that, you can see that there is a trend that is beginning to like take up. And you see it when we begin to get into the details of the discussion, what is the cause of that, and what where is it that we must look for? How does it manifest itself? So now, on the our focus of the discussion on the whole year, what is it that we've been doing? And when we aggregate the work into the six eyes, as you said, what has happened in what is that? This is what we'd like to speak to on infrastructure, industrialization, innovation, investment, inclusion, and integration. And we believe that that's how we implement NDP and the 9-point plan. And these slides just indicate how we have done that using the various programs in the department. And when we look at our annual report, you will see most of the stuff that is indicated in the annual report will be speaking to the lower part, the strategic objective in support of the job creation, industrialization, and social inclusion, which is your administration, coordination of job drivers, social dialogue, infrastructure development, promotion of investment, and promotion of competition and trade. So those programs will actually come out as such in the annual report. But all that work that you see below will actually be a reflection of what we seek to achieve on infrastructure, on investment, on innovation, and inclusion, and integration, and industrialization. Because if you don't look at all these six I's, you can't be able to achieve the goal that you want to see on inclusive growth and job creation. So the first one that we want to speak to is the infrastructure. Under infrastructure, we just want to point out to you that we coordinated and monitored 312 programs in this year out of the work that the item that we said we'll do. And out of that, those 312 projects have resulted in a spend of 269 billion on them, and we created 142 jobs within the year that we are reporting on. And that this spend is just a reflection of an average of 1 billion per working day that we are spending on this infrastructure. These are the reflection of what you see in your APP, things that we said. These are the areas that we'll be going to, and these are how we're going to interact with the provinces and how we're going to deal with our reporting. How do we make sure that cabinet is up to date? How do we make sure that we interact with our own colleagues to ensure that infrastructure is implemented? But off a highlight, I think we have reported in one of the quarters, as you would remember, that that in this financial year, all remember that we did put work with lawyers, the Department of Justice, to propose a legislation to address cable and metro theft on public infrastructure, and this which has resulted in the amendment of the bill. And this was the fastest bill that we have ever seen, and that was showing how if you collaborate and if you actually integrate your work, how easy you can get things done and also interact with the society in a very short space of time. In this year, the outcome of the work that we have indicated there includes 22 successful unblocking of intervention. I have spoken about 302 projects, and out of that, there were projects that were having problems. And then we, in them, 22 interventions were done. And some of those interventions were not going even directly. Some of them had to do with facilitation of resources outside. For instance, we work on we work together with the department or DPE and ESCOM mm-hmm. to facilitate for ESCOM to have funding for funding transmission lines, because it was a problem. It wasn't we're not finding it in the fiscal. So we work on that, and ESCOM managed to secure a 2.5 billion rand, 2.56 billion rand worth of a loan to implement to implement the funding of the transmission line. Other areas of unblocking, these are the examples. I've spoken about them during the course of the year. I won't want to go to each and every one of them, and I think members can just go through them when they want to. But these are the number of the, some of the new numbers of the 22 that you've gone to. It includes going in to ensure that somebody has got a water license, and you unblock red tapes, and you get things done in a shorter period. Include dealing with issues of EIA where there are blockages, and assist, advise both the investor or the department on how best you can actually get things done in a faster way, and also project. We have also on the infrastructure. There's this significant intervention that we have had here. Vodacom, in terms of your telecommunications infrastructure, come in and see an opportunity, want to have more spectrum, and come in a form of identifying an opportunity with Neotel, but emphasizing more on how much that infrastructure is going to benefit us in the future. But what was hidden in it is that actually, if you give that spectrum, it was going to make Vodacom to dominate the industry. So we intervened, and we got the results actually in favor of resulted in Vodacom reviewing and later on just dropping the whole matter. Then on innovation we did a number of things that assist in improving renovation. And when we speak about this one that we are highlighting, it's not like it's just the only area that we're looking at. It's a number, a plethora of them, and we're just highlighting that those that have pushed them out to make an impact on the economy. For instance, there was a challenge that was identified by COPTA through our interaction, and a challenge of fires in informal settlement, and interaction with DTI, interacting with science and technology, we find this, and we facilitated that a solution. That solution that was identified by the science by research. Be implemented so that it assists people to have that. So we also now have Cape Ray received funding from ITC also to deal with breast cancer, and that's funding to develop a breast cancer diagnostic machine as part of the innovations. And on the integration, the total value of trade in 2015 were 2.1 trillion. And this 2.1 trillion come out of the work that is done by ITEC in terms of looking at the kind of trade that we do. So we focus our work on trade to promote job through integration, or specific focus on regional integration within the country. Our top exports We have also decided to just indicate out of this work that we've been doing who are our top experts, and in these top experts we also indicate which countries are actually involved in this export. You will see that in our top exports is cars, and trucks, platinum, gold, iron, and coal. What is the problem with that? The problem is that if you look at those top five, four of them are commodity-based, so commodity-based, and only one has diversified. And in any economy where you've got such kind of an arrangement where you have dominance and there's not enough diversification, once those areas that are dominant are vulnerable, your economy suffers. And that's the reason why now we're suffering, because our economy has been all been focusing on just exporting those raw materials, and those raw materials in the form. And the work that has been done in the past, looking at manufacturing and the support that I'll be speaking to a little bit later, you will see how the cars and trucks have actually turned a little bit around of our export in favor of the of another new diversified. But we still grapple, because, and that's the reason why the emphasis are also more on saying, can we go beyond just the commodity itself and look at how we can benefit it more? And that is very important, because if, when you, for the our economy to change, to grow commodities now, you definitely have to change the structure of the economy. You can't just say, you can't just say, drive it as it is now. So those, once you change that, they're not going to be able to have what we have. And look at our top exporters, who is the share? China, USA, Germany, two African countries. What does that say when you've got in the continent? We have a continent that has got it's one of those things that we are actually trying to look at. If you look at earlier or later on when we speak, you will see that here we've also shown the top importers. Who are these people that are importing, and what products are we importing? Crude and refined petroleum. Cars, we've already balanced the cars. But the rest of the others, computers and medicines. So what must your research do? You have to come up with research and work that does the substitution of the others that are importing, so that you get a stand better in your economy. So it's not an easy task of easy, like just getting a foreign direct investor. It's to say, what is this foreign direct investor going to? In which area is it going to? So you may have a foreign direct investor that reinforces the extraction of platinum, gold, iron, and coal. It won't assist you to get your economy up. What you need to have is foreign direct investor working with your investor to change, turn around. If you look at our importers, just look at that. This side we're exporting, there are two African countries. This side we're importing, which country is actually coming to us. So the relationship actually skewed. When we talk about integration, these are the issues that we are looking at. So when we look at this data, we don't just look at it as such. We look at what next action must come in. So that. So when we emphasize all the time that African, it's not a sentimental issue. It's more about looking at the how big the markets are and where do you change and diversify your. So in this case, when we talk IGC, which is our development finance and investment. We always use it also for leveraging of policy. When the minister interacts with IDC, they discuss at that level and leave the rest in the operations of IDC. One of the things that have resulted in the intervention, the interaction that the minister has had in the beginning of the year, is this one where IDC took an equity with Alpha Basis Mining, which is operating in tin mining in DRC. Somebody will say, why do you go to DRC? But these are is managed by South African mining engineers. And if it's managed by South African engineers, what does that mean? It means that the equipment and the things that they are going to be taking there will have to be your production. So your localization will actually be activated in that way. So we also had a BRICS competition, and in this BRICS competition, there were 508 delegates. We're looking at the strengthened economic regulators within BRICS group, and it's a discussion, a continuous discussion that we have with different regions to look at what is it, are we doing enough in our competition? When you get criticized on competition, is a different way of dealing with that. When you go to investments, we just want to point out that during the reporting period, IDC has invested 14.5 billion, approved 14.5 billion, and 11.54 was disbursed during this already by the end of the year. And has created 15,272 jobs. And it also approved 4.9 billion for black empowered businesses. You remember that when we reported earlier on in the beginning of the year, we spoke about the set aside for black industrialists in support of the initiative by DTI. 970 million for youth empowered enterprises, and 1.24 billion for women in empowered businesses. There was also a 10 billion pledge by the Chinese Construction Bank initiated through EDG ministerial engagement. The Beijing Automobile Group has established an automobile plant. I think we have reported on this, mm-hmm. where we indicated that they want to have an initial production of 50,000 cars, trucks, and sports utility. And this light passenger assembly plant is going to be built in more than 40 years. So that that's an investment that you have seen in the Eastern Cape in Nelson Mandela. The other examples of investment that we have had are listed there, but I want just to pick up one that is very interesting, the Sky Ring Studio. IDC now starting to move from more investment on the mining, commodity-driven kind. You can see that they are starting to move into the other industry and also manufacturing, and they are starting to move now on the culture and sports areas. So one of the ones that they've started now producing was the funding of the Sky Ring Studio new film in Johannesburg on top of Carlton Center. They've produced a number of films that we are now seeing on the television. On the provincial intervention, which is what we want to spend a little bit of time on, is that we have having done in the previous year a lot of integration of work between national departments and national institutions, and also grappling with the integration, the private sector in it. We have now started saying that work will not be able to restructure our economy or our production. We think that the work that is done also at the level of a province and a municipality must start also be to be tweaked. So we looked at how are those plans actually aligned at the provincial level. So we've worked with a number of provinces. We've got coordinating meetings that we're having. Another one is next week. So we have done some work in Mpumalanga, and we've reported in the previous work, and then Limpopo, we've done some work with the Free State, and what comes out of that discussion broadly in all the provinces, we can say that we have just picked out what have they identify as their top five or top three priorities, and I want members to look at this structure, because the next part that I want to go to is where the actual engagement is going to be as to whether are we really investing our effort where we're supposed to invest, and also identifying our next round of interventions where they are going to be. Look at Limpopo, look at the northern northwest, look at Western Cape, look at Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga, look at the Northern Cape, Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal and Free State. When you look at those priority sectors which they are identifying, when you now come in and say, what exactly is happening? You find that in this year, this is what the employment that you spoke about of 15, how it is distributed here, how unemployment has been distributed here. There's something that when we look at these two figures, we should, I want members to realize, is that whether it's on the employment side, on the unemployment side, the proportions are almost the same. But something very interesting that we need to be looking at, if you look at the amount of employment and the amount of unemployment challenges in these two, you realize that Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, and Mpumalanga have a situation where the unemployment is actually, like, the figures are actually higher than the employment figures. Gauteng is even worse. And why Gauteng? Because Gauteng, when you look at it, is an absorbent all. Once you're disgruntled at your province, you think Gauteng has got a better opportunity and you move there. That is why you see Gauteng 32% accounting for employment. But when you go to unemployment, it's at 37%. Because of that migrational move, and this is what is also just showing what has actually happened. All the provinces, Limpopo, Western Cape, Northern, Northwest, this slide showing what we have gained. But Free State, Gauteng, and KZN losing, they have lost a significant amount of jobs. On the left-hand side, you have an indication of how employment has increased or decreased. You see Limpopo is gaining more employment, but it is also shedding unemployment. I mean, it is also, Limpopo, what is good about it is that you have that, and then when you go on the employment side, unemployment side, you see the impact that is having, the work that is being done on the side, and also what it does on the unemployment. So you see unemployment decreasing. So Western Cape, more creation of jobs, but also more is accompanied by an increase in unemployment. So we must look at those sectors, and when we argue and say, why is it that you say you've created so many jobs, but, you know, unemployment is a problem. That is what is happening. You do enough, but you also have a challenge on the other side. And mostly you see that Gauteng is the worst. So Gauteng and Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga, we have got more people. Sometimes if you look at the patterns, you see that they've got more people either coming in from outside or others moving in from discouraged into because of because they are now having confidence. They think that something is happening here in the Western Cape, something is happening in Gauteng, we can see something. And then they come in, but they can't find a job, so they get hanged there. So those are the typical things that you should be able to see. So in our top three job-creating industries, this is what I was saying when I said look at what the province is prioritizing and look at what are the job-creating industries. Is there a relationship? Is there an impact that we're actually going to have? So if you look at that, I'll be looking using the graphics because it's repeated below. These are numbers for members to remember. But this is what it means. In the in the Western Cape, when you look at those graphs, the graphs that we are having there, look at that trade over 6 months. Trade has been going down. It's sliding. You've got the first bar, the second bar going down. But if you look at finance, it has got an upward trend in all of them. And when you look at also in agriculture, it is going down. And when you look at employment by the household, you can actually see that it is declining. What is the meaning of that? It says that manufacturing was the biggest gainer in the Western Cape, in the Western Cape, with 44,000 additional jobs. Why is it like that? Question mark. Where did the Western Cape get that? So it shows that your 9.10 or your NDP implementation is actually taking effect, because if you look at most of your infrastructure development, there's been so much of focus in the Western Cape, especially when you look at the ocean economy kind of activities, joint work that is done between national and the province, and you begin to see a lot of manufacturing taking place. The biggest employment loser, trade. Why trade is what we must go and interrogate and say, why is it that the Western Cape is actually using trade when we see manufacturing, more people getting employed? You will be expecting that we have a little bit of more on your. So is that what we are probably, when we get into the next phase, what we'll be looking at to say, how do you attain our system? We have, in the last 6 months, private household is becoming more, and it's understood. If you've got more people getting employed here, they get more comfortable in terms of employing people to assist. But you've got less, they start like, and then the biggest loser was in agriculture. We haven't done the analysis work, but we believe that that has been as a result of drought, because all provinces have got that particular trend. All of them have got that trend. So I spend a little bit more of time here just to identify issues that we need to be looking at. Eastern Cape. That is the reflection. I don't want to get into the details of that. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is, if we look at all these graphs, and we look at manufacturing, trade, community, and all this, and finance, what in the previous life, what did the Eastern Cape say is the major focus of work? Does it respond to this? So this is an analysis that we'll be having in the next 2 weeks with the program. To say, did we really identify the right things that we want to do in this area? So that's specifically what we want to do. So it goes on, and all of them, I don't just want to speak to them because it's a detailed case at end. That's what we have, the growth of trade in 12 months, the construction going down. In the 6 months, household coming in and government. If the 6 months is household, private household and government, what is the meaning of that? It means, in essence, that you have got more people employed by government or less private sector employment, and now the figure for government is coming up. And even the people that you have employed at home are actually becoming a bigger fit. So it's those things that we must actually be looking at in the next round of our Northwest trade and business services. Trade is the biggest employer, and business services go down. What does it mean? It means that your private sector, your private sector education is a challenge at all points. It might be that we have to look at that. But we know that Northwest is looking at its priorities on small dorpy improvement, and also on tourism and agriculture. Is it going to respond to this? Those analyses that you would like to are going to be able to look at. How then? Business services up, transport losing, and in the last 3 months, same kind of a trend, but the loser now become trade. What? Why in Gauteng should we have trade going down? Those are kind of questions that we will ask ourselves, and then when we interact with provinces and look at how best we should respond to those particular trends. Are they long term? Are they just short term? In Mpumalanga, construction, additional work. There's something very interesting. Construction, additional jobs, manufacturing loses. In the last 6 months, agriculture picks up, and government employment loses. Looks like a very interesting trend there. It might be in when you look at the MTB emphasis by Treasury, it looks like what the minister was saying when he was in Mpumalanga, I'm beginning to see it here. It looks like it's going towards the right trend, where we have more of work that is done within the critical area of agriculture. They have prioritized agriculture. They have prioritized construction. But my worry is on the manufacturing, because it's part of their priority and it's too low. And it's actually creating a lot of problems. Limpopo. Ghana in government, they lose agriculture, well, the craft agriculture is. And then the biggest employment gain in 6 months is your trade, and a loser in transport. Why would we be losing in transport? In Limpopo, when it is positioned between the gateway to Africa, when you've got minerals, when you've got all energy, when you've got construction going on, it's part of the things that we'll be like analyzing and say to them, is there no way that we need to do? So that is a reflection in terms of our provinces. So going into the rest of the other areas is inclusion. What have we done to deal with inclusion? We are focused on this thing they call measures. When you measure, what is it? Because when what is presented as an advantage to the country may not. There's something hidden in it. So we look at, can we have jobs in that, or is going to be a drop in jobs? So these are the examples, 28 measures that we have looked at last year, that we've intervened, and we have realized that actually the measures are going to be making more profit, but not employing. So we had to like regulate, and the Competition Commission made decisions in line with policy that has resulted in restricting firms and retrenchment and so on. And these are the examples of them. Also, there's an issue called public interest. The Competition Commission has imposed employment-related measures that has resulted in saving 7,857 existing jobs and created 3,137. But because we have lost 1,339, the net effect is only 9,000. So that's typically what we have done. Again, under the interventions on the inclusion side, the inclusion looked at whether a measure is assisting us to address our problem in terms of our population, in terms of addressing our economic exclusionary factors. So when this one was dealt with, it was an interesting one because the measure between the SAB Miller and AB Inver from Belgium. Has resulted in the competition ruling, has resulted in a commitment of $1 billion to fund support for emerging businesses. So $1 billion, they say they don't wait and say to the after effect. While they start interaction, they actually identify that there's going to be a gap here, so we'll contribute in this form and we'll put aside 150, we'll put $1 billion to fund for support of emerging. Coca-Cola bottling, same. We have had an engagement, and Coca-Cola committed $800 million for promotion of employment, localization, and SEPA fund for emerging farmers. We have also on AFGRI, $90 million fund set. It's not a fine. These are not fines. They are. During the discussion, before we used to talk a lot about all these things, it's not a fine, it's proactive way of the Competition and Trade and Administration Commission to now learn from the past that we spend so much time on investigating a company. Can't we come up front just to identify these issues that are critical when they actually deal with the major policy frameworks that they assist us to do so. So they up front raise the matters and companies respond even before they get into action. So that's basically what we have there. On the other area of work which has got to do with the inclusion is social dialogue. On social dialogue, what we did as a department this year that is significant is we had a youth employment accord, and we prepared a report on how we performed as government, as labor, and also as a society, and also as private sector. The first report that was presented to cabinet that was in April has indicated that the private sector wasn't that. We didn't have enough, and that in terms of their coordination, it's difficult to have much information. There has since been work that has been done. The next report will actually show the difference. The next one that I want to register on that is with regard to a memorandum of understanding between EDD and ILO, which has resulted in mobilizing resources from the government of Flanders equaling to 368,000, which is 4.8 million towards the development of the project. And this project is to promote cooperation on the development of social economy in South Africa. Another inclusion is work that is done on township, and the details are laid out there where we conducted a survey from 28 township enterprises. The details of that, we have shared it before. Another one is the township training workshop as a result of the survey. The other one has got to do with an interview that was conducted in the Free State. We have reported last time that we will be having a number of interventions with Free State because it was at a low edge when coming to employment in the past year. So there has been a number of interventions. There has been a conference that was convened also by the Premier, and there's a follow-up meeting that we'll be having with the MEC during this month. The other under inclusion and ensuring that all are benefiting in the economy is the copies of a booklet on indigenous chickens, and we reported on it in the past, and we did instruct that it mustn't be, it's not accessible, the language is a barrier. We have done a translation on a number of languages, and this year we did also Shivenda, and we've distributed 3,000 copies to them. The next part is on industrialization. On the industrialization, the kind of things that we have done to promote industrialization is that EDD conducted significant research and consulted on proposed amendment to the competition committee. And it, what we have done is in this year, we have put in a, there was, when the competition committee bill was amended in the past, there was a section that was saying we must put into effect the criminalization of collusion by directors, by a particular, the date of the period was actually put ahead. So we ensure that this year it is activated and is now in action, and directors can be convicted for that. The other one, the other work that we did, it was to convene a workshop on excessive pricing with economic regulators. And the way to discuss, we had all regulators participating, UNESA, ICASA, just to say, this issue of excessive pricing, what can we do around it? Because it was following on a research that we did in the past where we interacted with globally, and there was an indication that the subject on the excessive pricing is a major one, because it's actually affecting even the global the global environment. We also, on industrialization, I wouldn't like go to the rest of the stuff, because most of them have actually dealt with them during the quarterly report. It will be a report of that. It's just to remind ourselves, safe to indicate that you remember that one of the things that you have done on during this year was a amended tariff investigation by ITEC. Another one that is worth speaking to again is on the steel industry, where due to key challenges facing South Africa on the effect of global oversupply of steel, a balance has to be maintained between securing primary steel and manufacturing capability. So we had EDD with the DTI and stakeholders in the steel industry, had to develop a comprehensive package to respond to that. Key of this intervention was the establishment of intergovernmental task team on developmental price for steel. Developmental price for steel, remember that steel was on parity, internationally. So this committee was to look at how do we develop a developmental price that will allow for us in South Africa being able to get price at the lesser account. Remember that the industry was opposed to that before, but because things have changed now, there are challenges. We then use that opportunity to discuss and say, you see now, should we have had that, would have now, we didn't have to discuss it. So now is a time when they feel, okay, we can actually have a development. So they are actually exploring that. There's been an increase in customs on duty, customs on those steel products that we're actually producing in South Africa. For instance, your semi-finished steel, steel plates, cold roll, steel and steel section. So on those that we can do, right, we have actually increased rates for importation. These were the things that we wanted to share with the committee. The other ones have got to do with the human resources. What did we use to do this? We used the resources both financially and human. So on that, I'd like the teachers just to speak a little bit to that on the human resources and the finance.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Chairperson, I will bring in Lawrence, who is CD of Corporate Management, and he has a full understanding of the human resources and where we're going with the human resources for the department. So over to you, Lawrence, to say a few words on the slides presented. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Deputy Minister, DG Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you very much. The first slide that we are presenting is on a matter which has been going on for a while, on the organizational structure. We've actually submitted a draft structure supported by a business case to explain why we are restructuring, why we are redesigning, and so on. The purpose of the submission was to get a technical concurrence, not on the content, but the documents are correct properly, and DPSA did give us the input. So they have quality assured the documents. They've proposed that we have a workshop to discuss the content, and that will be the first part of the consultation. Then thereafter, we'll start with the internal consultation, including labor and so on. The second slide is on employment profile, human resources. So on employment equity, we do have a committee, and in all the positions, when we feel either from the panel or the interviewees, we consider employment equity. This table confirms that we are on target. The issue of the vacancies has been topical in our presentation, and over the years, from 2014-15, we have reduced the vacancy rate. However, the third part is the department was established with 310, then about 170 positions were unfunded. We are now sitting at 140. Treasury has introduced what they call the headcount reduction strategies, and our payroll has now been kept. So we can no longer hire more people as we would have loved to. So we're going to have to engineer a different structure, different processes, mainly looking at the competencies and how we reduce the proportion of support to technical, but because we want to focus more on technical, produce more of what the Deputy Minister was talking about. We use a different staffing model. We have agreements with universities and IDC. So because our environment is different, we require special skills, which are in short supply. And I think that what we are going to be preoccupied with going forward is, given the limits that we have now on headcount and payroll being kept, how do we address the KPIs? How do we continue to increase our output? I think I would stop there. Thanks.
Thank you, Lawrence. On the financial side, that is from page 79. I'll hand over to Acting CFO, Steve, who will take us through the finances, the finance tables. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Minister, members, and the DG. I will just give a brief summary of the department's performance in financial. Over the year under the review, we have spent 99.77% of the budget, as which when we compare to the 2014-15, we have spent 99.72%. The underspending there being from 28% to 23% in 2015-16. This constitutes a reduction of 0.5%. The next slide just gives an overview of the program expenditure. We have three programs in the department. Total spending in 2015-16 is 22,045,000 compared to 2014-15, which was 1.9 million. There's a difference there of 97,000. The following slide just gives an overview of the percentage spending in terms of the economic classification, which includes the composition of employees, the goods and services departmental agencies, which is the main driver of spending in the department, as well as the payment of capital assets. The percentage comparison there, 2015-16, we spent 99.77% compared to 2014-15, which was 99.72%, difference there being 0.05%. On the revenue, previously we used to report on the penalties that we collect through Competition Commission and Competition Tribunal processes, but because of the new accounting manual from the Office of the Accountant General, we only report now on the basic revenue that we collect, the main one being on the dividends that we receive from IDC. As the main shareholder in IDC, we the comparison there, in 2014-15 we received 50.3 million, in 2015-16 it was 50.2 million. Because we are no more reporting on penalties, we only receive and then we are just an agent. We only receive and then take the money to National Treasury. In 2015-16, in terms of the penalties, we collected 676 million, and in comparison to 2014-15, we received penalties from totaling 880 million. The next slide just gives a comparison or explanation in terms of transfers to agencies, our entities, as to how they spend, spend the money that was allocated to them from the department, as well as other spending from their reserves. The CIFA appropriation was reduced from 2015-16, which was 406 million, to 204 million in 2016-17. The reason being the budget in 2015-16 was including the final sum of economic competitiveness support program, which was a special grant that expired in that year. The Competition Commission and Tribunal have spent more because they've used their accumulated reserves, which were approved by National Treasury. And also for the Competition Commission, a significant part of their spending from the 2014-15 budget was mainly on the allocation for the market inquiry, which is still ongoing. In terms of ITEC, they spent also more because of the reserves that were approved by National Treasury. The allocation to IDC, the 5 million that was transferred to IDC, it was not for, it was only for a special capacity for the PICC activities in IDC. And lastly, we have noted the concerns from the AG and the FSC reports, and we are hoping to improve tighter controls in our finances in terms of transferring monies to our entities. I will get back to the DG to just to give an outcome of the AG report.
Thank you, Steve. I'll just run through the last few slides on the Auditor General's report. The department obtained an unqualified audit opinion. An area of focus and discussion we had with the Auditor General is on the APP, the predetermined objectives. The Minister and EDD met with the AG twice to discuss the predetermined objectives, and the AG highlighted the need for the department, and this we need to build into our 2017-18 APP, his recommendations. On Program 2, growth path and social development, its important targets should be more specific and measurable. Social dialogue, my apologies, and measurable and indicators be better defined. On Program 3, that's investment, competition and trade, important indicators be better defined. The department acknowledged the concerns relating to the financial controls. This came out through the audit, and we can always improve on this, and it is our intention to do that. We have remedial actions have been put in place. The AG raised concerns regarding findings on predetermined objectives. In considering feedback from the AGC, AG, the following serves as context. We need to factor into our APPs, as well as predetermined objectives, the nature of the department. It is not a line function department, but one seeks to align the work of other departments and agencies to national policy frameworks. Two, it's the nature of its role in the economy. It tends to react on economic challenges and is proactive on policy. It cannot always anticipate products and challenges ahead of time, thus need to have a flexibly phrased set of KPIs. Not a department that builds schools or disperses subsidies and has a more complex function. So with this, we explained to the AG some examples, we can go into some of this. The APP 15-16 was adjusted to reflect new KPIs. So we had an old KPI, and we had a number of interventions. So KPI 27 was number of interventions to grow the economy and or reports on the implementation of the green economy. Now, what we find with this is that this is just a number. And it's very easy to report numbers. What we're trying to design in our APP is to support the development of the green economy and jobs through implementing the Green Economy Accord. So we're trying to now move the department and our work into impact, not a number. Numbers are easier to report, as I said. We're trying now to move into more impact. So the AG also had concerns on definitions. For example, KPI 5, initiatives to support local production and or diffusion of green technologies. The AG was concerned that initiatives cannot be clearly defined. Well, the required level of performance cannot be measured. But when we actually take the AG through this, we find that the dictionary meaning of initiatives is an act or strategy intended to resolve a difficulty or improve a situation, a fresh approach to something. And initiatives and interventions can have similar meanings, yet no concern raised in previous audit on the use of intervention. So with this, we have a continuous dialogue with the AG on definitions, on words to be used, and we will work with him to complete the APP 1718 to tighten up on these on the KPIs. The next slides just really go through examples of how we explain to the AG on the KPIs and the changes in the KPIs in the various APPs. If we take slide 91, we had some actions after the minister's meeting and management to provide feedback on implementation and progress of action plans to address poor audit outcomes during quarterly reporting. We intend to bring that forward in our quarterly reports to the Portfolio Committee as well as the NCOP. Management to provide quarterly feedback on status of key controls. Quarterly feedback on progress of filling vacancies at the department as well as our agencies. Slide 92. To improve on internal controls, we've introduced what we call a consolidated heat map. This rectifies the audit findings. It's compiled, which reflects responsible persons and timeframes to rectify each finding. The heat map process gives specific attention to the priority areas of the AG findings, but most importantly, repeat findings. The heat map is meetings are held every second week on a Friday, and the CFO chairs those meetings to drive implementation and change. If we go to slide 93, we will have further engagements with the Auditor General on the APP 1718, as well as finalizing the definitions, etc. The last slide, 94. What we'd like to do to report back is a new initiative within the department. If we consider that Parliament, NCOP, appropriates a significant amount of money for the department, 150 million rand odd for the department itself, and a significant amount for transfers to our entities. We are looking at a model to measure the impact of that 150 million rand. And are we actually getting value for money from it? So this is work in progress, and we feel it's a good initiative to come with some sort of measure to demonstrate to the Portfolio Committee and NCOP the value add and the value for money for the appropriated amount. So that's where we're at. I thank you, Chairperson and members. And thank you, Deputy Minister, as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. That's how we account for the year and on the activities that we've been carrying out, from which we have learned, from which we have gained some lessons, and we'd like to have a reflection of the committee so that we can improve.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, to DG and the team. Honourable members, let me first welcome two members who joined in while we're continuing with the meeting. Honourable Wouter from Mpumalanga, and Honourable Mthethwa from KZN. Oh, did you join in? You did introduce yourself.
I did.
Oh. Are you ready for questions?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Honorable members, we have received the presentation
towards the in long. Let me also indicate up front that I did earlier, we have two departments that will be meeting today. First is the economic development. Soon after, it will be joined by Department of Labor. So there already is an indication that the other parties will be attending, as well as other commitments. So that is the situation. So can we then start, Honorable Ntebe, can we have a hand first? Honorable Ntebe, Honorable Lond, Tambolenyok, Honorable Vauda, I know you always want to come later, so I must take it now. Honorable Makue, there's no meeting that you never speak, so I'm going to speak on this one. In that order, and Honorable Tempster.
No, Chair. I want to start with the simplest of my submission. And thanks, dear. But when we talk about impact, DG, particularly in the important sector as green economy that we want to see market penetration happening there, how do you then begin to define impact? Because you are saying you want to move away from numbers and concentrate on impact. How do you then quantify impact if you want to subtract it from numbers? The second part is, you were not explicit, DM, on your 22 unblockings. Where are they situated? I can tell you, I can make you an example now. We're beginning as the committee to begin to make more emphasis that, look, if you look at the departmental priorities, we talk about inclusiveness, we talk about all these things, but we continue to give more allocation or more priority in terms of investment to already urbanized provinces. And we think that this thing must be changed, and it can only be changed by making sure that we focus so that we keep what you were demonstrating as urban migration, which is also having an impact into what we want to do. And it is true that, we're still seeing that our export base is commodity-driven. We want to shift away from that. Also, our trade partners are beginning to shift. The example in this case would be China, for instance. That is beginning to shift away from there. The IDC impact in investment of $60 million, it's a welcoming announcement. However, are we going to be able to quantify the localization and beneficiation that we want to see happening here? So that it does not just become something that is not going to be reaping. Like, for instance, aren't we going to be using our competitive advantage in terms of the medical space to make sure that intra-African trade takes place? Just as an example, DM, if you look at your page, your slide 44, for instance, in the Northwest, like you were saying, we have what we call the VTSD, your village, township, and small dormies, where we are trying to shift the focus from your urban areas into smaller dorpies, your villages and your townships, so that we begin to stimulate and enhance growth there. And that's why we are shifting away from your mining-dominated economy into your, what we call ACT, agriculture, culture, and tourism. Because mining inherently is a declining, the mine of life is declining. So if you perpetually concentrate on mining, with the life of mine declining, that's why you see the what you were busy with your Sibanye, and because now they are beginning to go into the secondary mining kind of a thing, because life of mine is declining. And those are the things that we want to see happening. But we have also seen that we have not been able to arrest the decline in your manufacturing and agriculture. What we have been able to arrest was the decline, but we have not been able to see growth in terms of the two sectors. However, we agree that these two are most important, and that's where we must be able to concentrate. And that's why your contraction in the agricultural sector is very explicit in your slide 53. The slide 64, this collusion thing, aren't we in a space to make sure that there's consequence management moving forward? That people are colluding and are making billions, and when we punish them, we only take a fraction of what they have been able to do. And we know that there's discussion in making sure that this thing becomes a bigger issue, but from where I'm sitting, we are just, this is just a drop in the ocean. I think also there's an issue that we can be able to speak on in the future, issues of indicators versus measurables, that we must begin to be able to say, and I understood the explanation by the DG, but if you are talking about initiatives and we say it's an act, DG, then we must begin to define what is an act in our own way, so that we can be able to measure whether the act has been able to be processed or not. So if we become broad and say initiative can be an act or whatever intention to do, we are not even close to defining what an act in our own case means. And I think that's where we must be able to close the loop between how we think as the department and what the AG seeks to do. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Lord.
Thank you, Chair. There's a few, you've touched on the HR aspects, okay, because that's a major concern, because we cannot really, the department cannot really function if we do not fill all the positions that they need to fill. But my concern is that the Economic Development Department, when it was started, was said to be more of a coordinating function between the various departments. And I don't see that they really, we've made much progress. I'm going to use one example that I'm going to raise, because it's where you can liaise with another department. It's in the rollout of, for instance, broadband across our big metro areas. It's been proven that as soon as you get broadband accessible to the majority of the population, there's more people that can get on their own into the job market, start the businesses. And that's something that's basic that we should do, and that's a policy decision that can be changed in another department. So if you do the coordinating function, that's almost one of the areas, not the first, but one of the areas to start off with, which is a bit of a concern. The other thing that I want to raise here in the committee is every time when we raise the slow economic growth of South Africa, it gets put forward, yeah, but there's been a world recession, and gets compared to other markets that's similar to ours. And I don't want to downplay that at all. But my concern is we are not supposed to be at the growth rate where we are now, not even taking into consideration the huge unemployment we've got at the moment. But we are in the prime position to actually take the lead in Africa, because Africa is the one that's going to, and is at the moment, stepping up. And if we look at sub-Saharan Africa, we are actually lagging way behind where our other partners are. And at the end of the day, we can say a lot about what is being done and what is pulling us behind. If we don't see that growth, and if we don't see the unemployment rate decrease, then we are not really performing where we should be. And it's not a negative criticism, it's a real concern that I've got, that if this is your main purpose of coordinating all of that and we're not getting that growth, we are not really performing the way we should in this department.
I thought I had noted you, but I see Honorable Faba, because he indicated that he's going to leave earlier, so I'll, with your permission, I'll take him before you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, we've gone through this presentation. What worries me a bit is that we are here representing provinces. Now, there's a nice detailed presentation here on provinces, but the Northern Cape's nowhere to be found. Now, I don't know, did you somehow forget us? We are actually the biggest province, even though maybe the economic part not. Yes, some people didn't wake up yet, but forgive them for that. But I don't see it here, and I am actually quite worried, because we are here sitting representing our provinces. And if I go back to the legislator, I have to report back to the legislator and tell them what I hear here. And to be quite honest, the Economic Development Department, through what I've seen in the Northern Cape, have not really come to it, to what it should be. We are not seeing the job creations there. I see that in the mining industry, there's a small part here that says in the mining industry we've lost 8,000 jobs, etc. But that's about it, what I see on the Northern Cape. I'd like to get some input on that. Thank you.
If you check on page 37, on the percentage of without jobs and the percentage of total unemployed, you are mentioned there. But also on the change in employed and unemployed, 2015-16, you are also mentioned there. It's on page... On the private sector of the province that you don't feature.
Chairperson, the pigeon delivering the annual report to the Northern Cape is not yet.
Yeah. Oh, that's in fact, the slides on provinces, because I also had a question before we were given the revised presentation. Also, it was only talking about three provinces, the previous, the one that was the image to us. It was only focusing on three provinces. But now, with the revised version, it talks to at least a number of provinces, except on the issue of priority sectors. The Northern Cape is nowhere to be found.
That is actually what I'm saying.
So that's the point that he's raising. Yeah. Honorable Vauda, followed by Honorable Makua.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I greet everybody with Assalamu Alaikum. Let me say at the outset that we must commend this department, and also that we can clearly see that the department is being led by a deputy minister from Mpumalanga. Okay, Chairperson, when we looked at the five top imports and exports, I noticed here that we say we are importing sugar into South Africa as one of the top five imports into this country. I must say that I'm very, very surprised at this. I think South Africa's sugar industry is very, very big, and big enough to be an exporter. I cannot understand. And really silently to myself, I was wondering whether these guys are trying to dupe us here, you know. But seriously, I'm not sure. I think we must check this one out. I don't appreciate that sugar can be one of the products that we are importing into South Africa. The second issue is about our imports and exports, which, you know, we see that China, Germany, and the USA being our biggest trading partners and in the top five. But China, Germany, and the USA, at least they're selling to us, but they're also buying from us. The other two which are of concern is Japan and India. They're selling to us, but they don't seem to be buying accordingly and in a balanced manner. So I'm just wondering what can be done about this. You know, surely we can place some kind of make some kind of arrangements to share, because, you know, both these are BRICS countries. And being BRICS countries, they should be able to do more to support our economy and certainly buy sufficient so that there can be some kind of a balance here. the issue of jobs and the loss of jobs, and in the Western Cape, the loss of jobs is related to agriculture, but we're saying that it's probably due to the drought. But the truth is, there is more serious drought in other provinces in the country. But we have seen that in other provinces like Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga, there's actually been an increase in job creation in the agricultural sector. So I'm just wondering if there isn't some other reason why there are losses in the agricultural sector in the Western Cape. On a lighter note, Honourable Chair, the inclusions and mergers issue, we in the EFF, we call this white monopoly capital. So let's not beat about the bush. Everything needs to be done to ensure that this kind of mergers and these issues, that a close watch is kept on these, to ensure that we do not continue. And this is, we don't say this because we don't zonda anybody, to use a nice word. But the truth is, we need to ensure that as going forward, we balance the socioeconomic discrepancies. I mean, we must do more and more. And I think all of us are in agreement in this. We see it happening every day. Even our friends the guys that we have made kings also agree with us that we need to do something about restoring this huge discrepancy in socioeconomic conditions in this country. Finally, the issue of steel. There was a department, I think it was DTI, that spoke to us a couple of weeks ago about the efforts that are being made by some of the countries, and one of these being again BRICS, China, where they want to monopolize the steel industry internationally. And from time immemorial, steel has played a very, very important role in communities, in societies. We're talking of from the Stone Age, literally. The first metal that was used, I think, was iron to cut and so on, which replaced sharp stones and things like that. So steel will always remain a very, very important commodity or very, very important product. And if any country in the world is going to monopolize, that really is going to monopolize the international communities. And in South Africa, we must ensure that we work against this, and I trust that the department is aware of what we are talking about, and that they are working closely with other departments to ensure that we defend ourselves, not only ourselves, but we defend Africa as a whole to ensure that this does not happen. For now, thank you very much, Chairperson. I trust I was not too long. Thank you, sir.
Honourable Makua. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me welcome the information that has been shared with us and make two comments and three questions. My first comment would just be by way of a request. Because we are from provinces, is it at all possible, DM, that when you engage with the provinces in the way that you've mentioned, that you drop our secretary a note so that we may look at our own availability to participate in those events as well. It would help us. The second is on page 94, where you are making the contributions to the economic development. The final page, we would want to commend you because it would help answer a lot of the other questions that we may have in terms of the role and function and the positioning of EED, and appreciate that in particular. Those are the comments, Chair. My question would just firstly be, in the report, you're talking about 312 projects, but then you are indicating that you have given written reports to the Cabinet on 72. Give us an indication what happens with the rest of the projects. in terms of our oversight, we are not looking at you giving the reports to us, but then at least ensuring that the full reports are given to the appropriate authorities. The second question that I have, Chair, is on the bill that you mentioned on page 16. Now, two things that's happening there. Yesterday, on my way to airport, Oar Tambo, I asked the taxi driver, how's the economy in Mamelodi, in Tswane? And then he says to me, we are in trouble. There's a railway line running behind our house, and they keep on stealing the cables. Also, in the constituency where I'm deployed, in Newcleland, which is on the southwest of Johannesburg, we have had people stealing not only the cables but also the lights from the railway station. And I went there, they burned the place, and people were able to tell me, no, it's that scrapyard there that buys the metal from them. Can you tell us what do you pick up as a difficulty there? We pick up it. The difficulty is that SAPS is not rigorous in terms of pursuing those that are damaging and stealing and looting our infrastructure. What is the Department of Economic Development experience on that? And does the bill actually help? I know that the Proceeds of Crime Amendment Bill was very effective, and we are legislators. We would want to make sure that what has been processed actually assists the departments to do your work. Just my final point, Chair, is a very difficult one on mining. The MPRDA, as well as the mining charter, are all not helping us to address the lack of localization and also beneficiation and the lack of triple BEE compliance in the mining industry. Is that your experience as well? Let me leave it at that, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Tamale?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Deputy Minister, colleagues, and everyone here present today. My question is a quick one, is on governance. I note that both in the presentation as well as in the actual annual report, you are not reporting on the issue of fraud and corruption, except to say you have policies, fraud prevention plan in place, and policies in place to deal with the issue of fraud and corruption. The reason I'm asking this is because today experience is that fraud and corruption is rife and prevalent in state institutions, and therefore it undermines the service delivery and the mandates of state entities and government departments. Now, are you saying when you're not reporting on these issues in your space or in your department in particular, you don't have issues in that regard? All is well. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you very much. Let me also have a bite. My worry is that I may be the one who's delaying the meeting, because I've got also a number of questions that are on the report, and but also other general questions that are policy issues. I think the first one, I agree with Honourable Tebe, that on the issue of unblocking the project, if we could have a list of those provinces, because I'm worried about particular. I'm from the Eastern Cape. For years, we've been talking about the Umzimvu project. It never seemed to take off the ground. So that's why I agree with Honourable Ntebe that if at least we could have a list of those projects that are being unblocked. The second issue for me, I see on page 13, on the infrastructure highlights, the amount of 269 billion spent on infrastructure, and also the 1 billion per day. Also, if this could be we have a breakdown per province. How much is the provinces getting from this 269, and how much is it getting per day? Today there's a 1 billion that is going to be spent. How much of that is going to each of our provinces? That kind of information. The third one is the, we always talk about the localization. Do we have a mechanism to ensure that there is really localization in the components that are being manufactured or produced in our country? Also on the highlights, there's the issue of youth and women. My question is, to what extent is the youth and women from the rural areas are benefiting out of the work of the department, as highlighted in the report. But as I'm talking about rural women and rural youth, to what extent is do we have investment that is focusing in accelerating development and economy in the rural space? But another question is with regard to, you said that there's a decline in the manufacturing. To what extent are we, that when I say we will include also the private sector? Because I always hear that the private sector is sitting on trillions, you know, of rands, the investment boycott. Instead they're building malls, instead of building factories, you know, and so forth. What is it that we're doing as government to stimulate investment in productive economy? The other issues that are not necessarily in the report, it's likely there is something, I think, in the forward of the minister with regard to the issue of tariffs. I think you also mentioned the issue of tariffs. To what extent are we dealing with the relaxation of the capital controls so that we ensure that the profits are not moved out of the country? I think that, I know EFF is a subject that they like very much. The outflows. But also the issue of banning of scrap metals and instead recycling it within the country. The other issue, I think, which is related to the issue of local procurement and localization, is that of ensuring that wholesalers and the retail sector stick to the 75% of local goods. Perhaps if I have another chance, I'll deal with other questions that I don't want to delay the meeting. But the last one is on the issue of the public investment corporation. I know that we have IDC as an EDD. Have we considered bringing PIC to the EDD for purposes of investment in strategic areas for development? I see Honorable Chawangu raising your hand. I'll give you the chance now.
Mine is going to serve as input. Thank you, Deputy Minister and everybody. My take is that Zamazamas are taking place in Free State. And what is it that can be done to do away with these Zamazamas, because they are orchestrated by foreigners? To Free State is an agricultural hub of South Africa. And agriculture is gradually declining in the Free State. What is it that can be done in order to help farmers to improve life?
like in the past, the government was laying a helping hand in order to make a free state a green field. Lastly, the cableway. I think in the Free State we've got the highest peak in South Africa, especially when you go to Kwaku and Drakensberg. In order to create jobs, what about if the government can help in order to make a cableway in those Drakensberg mountains called Mount of Success, in order to attract people from all over the world to come and spend their money there, because that place has been marked as the poor of the poorest in the country by the former president. Thank you.
There will be a second round, so for now we'll ask the DM and the team to respond to the question.
Thanks, Chair. On the matter of unblocking, Chair. We have indicated the areas on slide 17 in terms of areas which were creating problems for progress not to go. They are not limited to that. These ones are just indications of those that have reached the end. One of the other unblocking that we are working on now in this is that we've identified 20 projects that were stuck for a long time and want to push them out. So you talk about Miloto in Mpumalanga, you talk about Lotto Rail in Mpumalanga, you talk about Umzimvum in the Eastern Cape. We speak about the DPS, the entry development in the Free State. So it's a number of them, and there are like around 20, and they were stuck. So, and all of them, and the N2 Wild Coast. So it's part of that list of those that we're working on now. When we conclude, we then report. We don't report on them as we work on them. And so some of them have been concluded, but it's not in the report. These ones were the ones that were problematic at that time, and we clear them all. And this is what we do now. In terms of investment on the diversification of our investment to speak to both urban and rural and also across provinces, it's what we are grappling with now, and it's what we are trying to deal with. In policy discussion within the cluster, and also with our development financing institutions, like the IDC. The minister plays in the discussion, those are the things that we look at in terms of saying, what is the diversification of our investment? Is it spread enough to the various provinces? But what we have learned also is that that is influenced by initiatives at the local level. For instance, we have seen a number of outflows, serious outflows that goes into the Northern Cape because of the Green Energy Program initiative, which was like conceptualized, concretized, and it was implementing. So we are dealing with, if this development is going, this initiative that we're having on various initiatives, who is going to fund them? Is them that we're able then to talk to that? We'll be seeing some outflows of investment of IDC. If you look at the trend, was Gauteng and in the Western Cape. You see, why? Because in the Western Cape, there were concrete, the harbor created its own demand in terms of development. The idea is that they're creating the demand. What's that? Just forget it now. My friend stays there. Those areas are the ones that were like attracting, because you see a need for that. We'll be having new access now, which are going to go more towards the Eastern Cape, KZN, because of the development that will be going there on the ocean. So the trends for that is determined by the initiatives that are coming out. Limpopo has actually gained even more, because it was like so much construction that is going on in terms of your infrastructure. And that is why if you look at Limpopo and you see where are they doing well, you see construction like shifting up. It has had also an influence even in terms of themselves on how they handle and how they handle their own infrastructure. Indications are that in the last from 2010 up to now, the Limpopo managed all the years have been struggling to spend on their capital and on their infrastructure investment, and now they are at 1.8%. They actually spend and even add other amounts, because they are responding to these needs that are actually coming in. So it's the initiative. That's why we spend more time on pushing the lower and the provinces to concretize their initiative, but they've got major influence on that. The matter around the urban, both urban and rural, the matter that we are grappling with. CIFA has come into the space. The Department of Agriculture, the Forest and Fisheries into that space. And now there's been a discussion between the minister and agriculture on how IDC can actually assist in funding certain initiatives that they've got now in areas where we have got to zoom into rural development, inclusive of aquaculture funding for those initiatives. How do our investment impact on the restructuring of our economy? It's what I was talking about earlier on, to say if you look at the finances of financing of IDC, the contributions of IDC, is in the discussion with the minister, that is in the center, and you can see now the shifting of the resources towards the other areas. We've been the major part of our investment was more on your investment in the commodities and manufacturing, if you look at the portfolio there. But IDC now is beginning to move, and its portfolio now going to like green energy. In the past year, you can see that the figures are going more into green energy. Is beginning to go and find our support for local product that are meant for localization. How do you arrest manufacturing and agricultural decline? When you talk of manufacturing, there's a relationship between manufacturing and what you have. So if you beneficiate your commodity, you are triggering a whole lot of change around it. Different kinds of change of manufacturing in support of that. When you do agro processing, to also assist you to have more. And when you go into your green energy, you have seen it, how it has triggered the manufacturing. You remember the interventions that we made on the green energy. As a start, you had a flood of capital inflow, of capital investments coming from outside, complete turbines, and the intervention that was done on that to get them manufactured here as a challenge. So it's not just about triggering green economy. It's not about triggering a sector. It's also about how do you put systems like Honorable Vada was saying, which ensure that your policy imperatives are addressed, your localization, how do you make sure that is there? And that answers the question on how then do we trace this, ensure that this localization happens. There's what we call designation. Nowadays, when we invest in South Africa and we want to invest in a specific area, it's a specification that shows you if you invest in these, the following areas, we've got capacity. So these ones, we have got capacity for 100%, this one for 80%, this one for 20%, and we're not expecting you in this one not to see you exporting more than what we have indicated here. So it's importing more than what we have indicated. So that is one of the controls that are there, and it's within DTI, and it's monitored. And ourselves in the infrastructure, we do monitor each one that is given a contract, whether it's in Busile, we go and check what is it, where have you complied with whatever we have actually done. What we haven't done is which we need to do more is on the area of the private sector investment as to whether the private sector is actually complying with that. But we are consolidating that through the coalition, the partnerships discussions that we're actually having now with business. When we say, when there was this emphasis on private sector crowding in, it's not only about private sector crowding in terms of money and investment. It's also about making sure that they support policy programs that are following. And these are the discussions now that are actually happening within those forums to ensure that we all put our shoulder on the field. On the collusions, can we go beyond? Yes, I think some members have already indicated, yes. On the collusions, we've gone beyond. We're putting the issue of criminalization, criminalization of the act itself, but also beyond that is it's a matter around awareness creation in our community and ensuring that matters are reported. If you talk about Mamelodi, if you go and stay for a while there, you might find that they know exactly who is actually taking this down. So it's those the ability to report so that these cases can only be, you can only see the effect of it when somebody is brought to book, and we deal with that. We are going to take that aspect on the police, and it comes into how do we, the implementation of the act itself. What are the modalities that are there? I think I've picked that one out. I've noted. I'll just check in the implementation modules as to whether we are looking at how we empower police to be able to do more in that regard. The coordination and whether it's effective, we believe that it is effective. It is effective in that we are making some progress in terms of coordination within the amongst at the national level, the horizontal coordination on the department. We are beginning to understand the things that we are supposed to be looking at. and to understand that a policy in one department cannot be staying on its own. It has reached a point that when you come up with a position or a policy document in one cabinet to adopt it, now it must go to monitoring and evaluation to check its impact in relation to the rest of the other departments. So we're at that stage. On the vertical side, is this work that we do with the provinces. It has got to do with those identifying the key areas that we can drive. For instance, the area of broadband that the Lord has mentioned is one of those that we have in the past 2 years had critical discussions between EDD and the Department of both Communication and Telecommunication. There's an example of a case here where we have worked jointly to stop a spectrum being allocated for dominant purposes. We also have had provinces, I worked with a number of metros that they on their own have got capacity to drive certain things with regard to broadband. For example, your Cape Town, your Gauteng, your Tshwane, your Nelson Mandela there's a collaboration between the department and the national department to drive that process of broadband rollout for broader use, while the department is focusing on rolling out broadband for the facilities of the state. So they have got a collaboration in that. Those are the kind of impact that we begin to see. Why do we emphasize on economic downturn? Indeed, it's not an area that we do like now. When we do this presentation, remember, we just highlighted, there were these challenges. But now, our focus is in getting ourselves at the national level to consolidate the 9-point plan and the program that we have had. But we are now going into the provinces and the local government to begin to push them to do that. I think last week you must have realized on Friday that the Deputy President was in Limpopo, was with him there, to go and emphasize this point, that at the point where we are, we need to now begin to drive more activities in that. Here in the Western Cape, we've had a lot of interaction. We are asked by George to come back again, to reflect again on the things that we've been doing. So it's a kind of work of intervention that we're trying to get that. The extension of the Northern Cape, I thought that we... the extension of the Northern Cape in terms of the work we did in terms of work that was done in this year, the specific reflection on it. When you hear about clean energy, the highest contribution on that is in the Northern Cape. We also indicated the work that has been done thus far by the province itself in terms of its own prioritization, where it does prioritize your green energy and it also identifies certain areas. We do interact. Also, the SKA is there. We look at what is it that we can benefit out of it, working with it. But there are some work that normally when we report into the committee, we have adopted an approach that says when a circle is done, we report. So we don't report much of these many activities that we are interacting with that particular province. But we tried also to just show the impact which we have. If you look at the Northern Cape again and you look at the priorities of the province and the outcomes that we're showing, there is synergy between the two. So that's how far I can go. On sugar imports, is the There are two things that are involved there. The sugar industry in general collaborate in terms of its own to manage its own demand. But what we know of most of it has got also to do with the issues that we're talking about. How do we deal with the challenge of trade and trade deficit? We have got trade deficit with outside countries, your Europe, your East, and even your BRICS. Ours show that they import more to us and export less, and we expect less to them. But when you come into the continent, we export more and we import less. So those deficits, challenging of those deficits are critical. The sugar, most of it is actually coming from Swaziland. Yeah, from Swaziland. So it could talk to you, balancing of your regional integration. That's why you see that factor coming out. In all the discussions that we have, including the last one that we were out with the Deputy President, that is high on the agenda on the addressing of trade deficits. When you go to these outside countries, those are outside the continent, we emphasize on that, on saying how do we then bring in the balance of trade. And in Africa, we now go and say, what is it that we can do to balance what we are receiving from you? It's in the center of what is happening. But I want to point out one thing, that what is interesting about BRICS is one. The relationship there is on equal basis. No one must be regarded less. But again, it's also developmental and progressive in that it doesn't give you kid gloves. It when coming to real issues, national interests, they present them fully. So it means you must be stronger also in your case to present your national interest. Don't think that when you relate to China will say, yeah, more developed. No, you have to present your case, even in terms of the bank. Why we got that is because we had to put in and say, this is our interest. Why we got even the bank in the continent, the branch of the bank in the continent, it's because of that, when we express the interest. If you don't do so, and they're not going to say because you want you to have it, to get that bank was such work and lobbying that was going on. So it's the good relationship that is there doesn't mean that you must just relax and keep yourself on the receiving side. You are not going to be able to have anything. On the fraud and corruption. I'll start from on the fraud and corruption. Why are we not reporting it? The DG will speak to that a little bit later on. I'll give it to you later on. But we must indicate that part of why you would have fraud and corruption in an institution, always the source is whether you have got strong cooperative governance, whether governance is strong. If governance is strong in an institution, some of these things are able to pick them as quick as possible. What I'm trying to say is that the interaction between the minister and our institutions, like your IDCs, set of frameworks are done to do the checks and balances. Let me just give an example of just one that arose this year. There was a question on the issue of the funding models of the OGBE. Even before people dealt with it, immediately pick it up and hear things about OGBE, the minister walks in and look at the details and say, what is this? And you look at the governance, the processes, whether they've been followed, and whether there was favoritism or not. And we alert also the the members of the National Assembly, and when we are alerting them on it, also like just put a little bit, I mean, put more pressure on us and the IDC, and IDC had to explain itself in the last meeting, and they were satisfied that no, nothing. That is, so it's those kind of things that assist you in dealing with issues of fraudulent activities. Then on the issues of or on the request for, yeah, we will circulate. We will circulate from, I will indicate from time to time. But in the NCOP always, if you look at this report and you look at the one that we've done in the NA, you realize that there's more details. When we come here, we know always that we must actually expand. So rest assured, when we've got a meeting, we'll always be doing provinces and say what is the impact of it across the community. The 2312 versus the report on the 22. The report to cabinet. We report to cabinet those issues that the critical issues that we feel that now they must go to cabinet. Yeah. But there are others that we clear them off together with the department and the line department or the implementers quickly, and they are not so much, they're like supportive to the other. Normally, I mean, we sometimes don't record that. So it's that variation that we have. Travel theft being so rife, how do we respond to it? There is this, when we're dealing with the bill itself, there's also this discussion that is on the side on how do we improve our systems in such a way that we're able to track what institutions do we put in place. Do you check at the port itself the content of that? Because the system that they use in the port, you just mark, this is this kind of a product, and you leave it. Can your inspectors not be able to get inside and just check the content as it, whether it complies? And nowadays they do that, but at a small scale. But now what we want to do is that what has also been added was that anyone who buy a scrap metal must be able to identify the origin, and there must be an ID that indicates this is a person that sells this. So from time to time, you have to raid and check on the compliance of this particular. So it's part of the controls that you want to deal in. On the mining and compliance to our policy objectives, your BEE and your localization, is part of the issues that we are engaged in the PAKISA, the mining PAKISA, to say how do we increase the compliance in relation to this. I think you all know that the BEE code now is actually revised. Part of the things have been inbuilt into that code. And on the localization side is the also, I think this emphasis that directive that are saying when you operate at a particular place, this is what you must do. And I think it is covered very well. The sooner it's presented into the our legislative structure, we are going to see how this in the current MPRDA is going to be able to handle that. There are discussions also between the government and the mining and all partners to come up with minimum things, and they also cover this, the agreement that they have made around them, they also include this, which makes it easier, because if it's just an act or regulation, it's easy to resist, you're putting in too much red tape. But if it's an agreement that is put in place as a process, it doesn't create a lot of tension and a lot of difficulties in the implementation of that. On the On the issue around the project I've spoken to, the project that we have intervened on, the 22, and that I did say that there's 20 more, and on the Umzimvu, we hope that very soon there'll be, in one of these quota reports, we'll be able to just unpack a little bit on what is happening in there. The issue around when next time we come, if we can just be able to show the infrastructure impact in the various areas and in terms of our DFI funding, we'll try to look at that and say, oh, these are the projects that have been done here. For instance, green energy, this is what it has had as an impact in terms of your jobs and employment. It is something that we should be looking at. Manufacturing decline, I think I did speak to that. Did speak to the issues of scrap metals, the banning of scrap metals. It's going to be, we tried to do that and it didn't, and then we had to come up with some form of regulation in that limit by putting on tariffs. You would have seen in the report I speak of tariffs that they put into CAP. But we're also challenged the aspect. Can PIC and IDC come into one area? All we can say is that we do have a coordination role, and we think thus far the coordination role that we have been playing allowed us to make sure that our DFIs talk to each other, your UBS, PIC, and there's also identification. You know, now there was a discussion that is on, that's going probably to be concluded today in cabinet in relation to the institution, especially your SOEs inclusive of your DFIs, on how we can streamline them in such a way that they talk to each other. So it's part of the work that is actually going on. But there is already some initiatives that have been ongoing. Just to give an example, we are in the discussion of the implementation of the infrastructure. IDC take certain areas which they finance, like individual industries that are involved there. PIC also pick up certain things that they can actually contribute, interacting with the department on their own pressures. There's a lot of discussions that are going on with the Department of Health on the hospitals, discussions with higher education in terms of accommodation. So we think there is minimum integration that is going on, and there's still more work that we think we'll do to get them to do that. The discussion I'm talking about, it has got to do with how more and more can they complement each other, and also to identify which are those that can actually mobilize even resources and even invest outside the country to be able to balance the other institutions as well. So that's the one that we'll do. Issues around initiatives at the local level, and that is good. For instance, the Free State with the cable way in the Drakensberg. I didn't check properly I didn't look at the detailed growth and development plan of the Free State, whether in their tourism have got this. I'll check on that and see if they have that. But they've been having a conference this year, which we have indicated here, which was consolidating initiatives. But what is interesting about this conference that I'm talking about now is that we, in the work that we've done before, we have emphasized that there is no economic development plan that you can have in a boardroom alone. So everyone that is involved, whether it's private sector, whether it's financing institutions, must be inside and they must be listened to. And what we'll be investing on is not what you think as government, it's what the initiative of the entrepreneurs are who are sitting there are doing. What is interesting about the Free State is that what they have done is that, it's exactly that. They bring in their own entrepreneurs, the tourism agencies, and say, let's talk this, which are the areas of investment that we are in, and what are the potentials, why are you not investing? Is there anywhere where you need you to, we need to intervene so that we're able to move forward? And I think I find that very interesting, because it's not a creation of your own in a corner. It's a real stuff that when you intervene, it's going to move on. So I hope that that is what we will be able to do. We did reflect on the decline on agriculture. And the Free State has got, in the agricultural side, one of the things that they are focusing on is mabele to feed into the green energy. They are also focusing on stock farming and also poultry in order to reinforce them. They are beginning to, like, they have identified the commodities that can assist them to leverage and to have less water-taking kind of a product that can lift them up. So it's part of the things that we are following them up on to see if they are more. But one critical thing that I want to raise here, which is the last thing, is that all these things that we're talking about with provinces, we're still talking about things that are written as focus. So our major focus in this year is to say, move. Where is the money? Where do you get the resources? When are you implementing that? So it's where we are now. Some of them are beginning to see that they spread them too wide and they want to answer every problem and so on. They say, why are you going to consolidate your resources in such a way that will assist you to get impact on certain projects and the impact that will give you more employment, so that we can have references rather than having a whole spread of time and you spend 50 years compared to realizing the results. So that's what we're trying to get in. And thank you, sir. If there's something that I left out, members will remind me. Did you hear that one? That's right.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honourable Lance, question on human resources for the department. Given that the Treasury has put a funding cap for the next 2 years, that means we will have to design our human resources within that funding cap, and we will have to design the structure in such a way where we have, at the moment, and this is an indicator we watch, we have a one-to-one, one administrator to one technical, and the ideal is one-to-three, one administrator to three technical. So we need to design our structure more in line with that ratio, and we will approach DPSA for a flexible structure. We're not a department that is command and control like in the security cluster. We need flexibility. We need to be able to move resources across programs to do the work. So that's work in progress, and when we've finalized it, we will come back to you on that. With regard to, there's one Honorable Bowder asked about the steel industry. There is a steel task team that's set up, and it is comprises the Department of Trade and Industry, EDD, National Treasury, IDC, and so far the work done today to destabilize the primary steel industry, we've introduced some tariffs, rebates for the secondary industry and designation. So government has applied the instruments it has available to it to stabilize it, but there's much work to be done in the secondary industry on that. With regard to fraud and corruption, Chairperson, we do have the hotline, and we take a report from the hotline, and that report comes through our internal audit and into the audit committee. And to date, we have not had any reports of fraud and corruption, but we do monitor it very, very, very closely. I think that's all covered on the administrative side. Thank you.
Thank you very much, dear. The starting teacher. I know it's very hard. The department has a whole year to deal with its programs, but we only have 2.5 hours for them to report and also engage with the report. I also have a whole lot of issues that I wanted to ask, but I have decided that perhaps those I'll perhaps ask those in the form of a written question for written reply. I will encourage members to do the same. Because we are really under pressure now, I think we need to deal with it. But there was just one issue that perhaps cannot wait for those written questions. It's on the competition commission on the approval of Vodacom and NIOT. But I see that the ministry is commissioning a study by independent experts. So my confusion there is that competition commission itself, in my understanding, is an independent institution that we should have confidence in. So it's a question of lack of confidence if you have to commission now another study on this particular issue when the competition commission has already made its own recommendation.
Is there no immediate follow-up?
No.
No. On that aspect, the commission is independent, and we are regarded as any stakeholder that has got a matter. So, we mostly focus on public interest, because in the act itself, they will deal with the technical issues. And we focus on the input around public interest. So, look, for instance, there was nothing wrong with giving Vodacom right to match with the Neotel, but that was tied to them getting the spectrum. And the spectrum in us is at the time there was also no framework that was put in terms of how we make sure that spectrum is accessible to all and it's used as a transformation. So they were being clever to come in with a particular angle, get the spectrum, and when you've got it, by the time you determine public interest and you say, oh, it must get, it's already with them, so you wouldn't take it. So our public interest was that is going to create dominance, because it means that everyone was going to buy from them, MTN was going to buy from them, anyone else that comes in, even a new player, will have to come and negotiate price from them. And we said, no, it can't be. So when we look for experts, was to say, can we check for us the level of impact that... So we demonstrated to the commission, which is independent, to say, we think you didn't investigate here. And this is what we're finding out. Can you, as an independent board, adjudicate on this? So as they were adjudicating, then is then that the Vodacom said, no, but we can change a little bit when we're beginning to do that. And later on, they then said, no, just don't continue, competition commission, we are withdrawing. Because they realized that if they were to continue on that one, they were likely going to lose.
Thank you very much, sir. We will have to leave at this. As I indicated, that we do have another platform.
Honorable Bauda is on. So I wanted to say to him that for us, when we deal with this team, whether the monopoly is black or red or white, it's bad.
I just wanted to say well done, Faisal.
Thank you very much, DM and the team. We will release you. Oh, unfortunately, the person representing is not here. Oh, he has. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much, DM and the team. We are going to continue as members with the Department of Labor. And also deal with the other internal matters. Thank you very much.
What is NEPA doing now?
The bomb.
For the UIF one. I wonder, I saw the new briefing. You know, when you come to top and 10 things, you're planning still, see. You're in grace.
The new charge is doing that.
The new charge is in town.
We have to follow.
You know, those guys from the. They ran away, you have to manage them somehow. Because they are used to the meeting finishing 5 past 12, 10 past 12, the latest. But now the old man is dragging them to past something to one. They run away every time, these two guys. They can't wait for this. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, but the other thing is, I don't want to complain.
Because
the old man.
That's the meeting. Yeah, no. But I know. But must spend the money.
But then, look at tomorrow's meeting. I mean, you don't step in tomorrow.
That one is quick. But
so
it finishes
one. So the one complains about the other one. But he's doing this time.
Oh.
Oh.
I thought he's
shorter. Oh, he
does
the same.
What?
Yeah.
Can we start with our second meeting? We're meeting. Okay. Oh. Let's welcome the Department of Labor and the Bula from the Legal Services in Parliament. We had indicated in our last meeting that we intend to finalize the bill, the amendment today, so that the report, so that we should have a draft report that should be circulated to members, that members should then consider today. And if it's approved, then it will be HC'd. We hope that it will be ready for consideration by the House this month. Thank you very much, members. First, let's have the introduction on this side from the department.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Mzuki Sindak. I'm head of the Office of the Deputy Minister of Labour.
Good morning, Honorable Members. Sorry, good afternoon. My name is Sonwabile Nochigila. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Office of the Deputy Minister of Labour.
Thank you very much. On the other side, the Honorable Members and the Parliamentary staff. Thank you. Can we then, are there copies? I don't know if there are copies. Right. If we had time, I was going to suggest that let's go page by page. Unfortunately, there are people that, including myself, that are having a meeting exactly at 1 o'clock. There's supposed to be another meeting at 1 o'clock. After that, there's a sitting at 2. So I will just think that members have gone through the report that was circulated. If there are issues that they want to raise on the report for clarity purposes, and then we adopt the report. Can we do that, Honourable Members? But also, Legal Services can also, if there are issues that you wanted to raise that are contained in the report, be free to do so. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Because I'm on my way, I don't want to waste any more time. Even though I am worried that the traditional leaders were not part of this bill, though the bill is going to deal with the members of the community that are staying or residing in the areas of the traditional leaders, that thing worries me. I want to say, let's allow the bill to go on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, that you're moving for the adoption of the report. Honorable Bounder?
Yes, thank you, Chair. In as much as we support the essence of the bill, we would like to raise a few issues which we have already raised before, but just to remind that in as much as we support the issue of minimum wage, we feel...
On a point of order, we have a report before us, not to add to it. It's a report of what has happened up to now. Unfortunately, Honorable Valda, it's too late to end now.
Can I just hear what he's going to say? I couldn't even hear that.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not adding anything. I'm merely reminding the House of what our position is.
Yeah.
But if the House doesn't wish to be reminded, that's fine. We will then raise it in the NCOP.
No, you can continue.
Thank you, Chair. What we are saying is that the issue of minimum wage, we feel, is not being hastened. It's not the progress on that issue is not adequate. You know, it's not fast enough. Also, the inefficiency of the UIF and clearing of the UIF in timelessly, and then also the issue of contract labour, which we feel that there is still far. You know, the period for contract labour should be limited. In fact, we don't believe that there should be some such things as contract labour at all. The bill does include for UIF for people on contract labour, but we feel that contract labour should be disposed with altogether. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable Ted and Honourable Ted.
Now, Chair, I think we must agree that it's been some time dealing with the bill. We have addressed all issues that were issues of concern. We even brought in interested parties that were having some issues to be raised. Those issues have been disposed of. And this is for the very reason that we are seeking to close the inefficiencies that the Honorable Board is referring to, that we are bringing in the amendment bill so that we can close them off. I think also the issue of the contract labor and the issue of minimum wage are belonging in the other platforms that we can be able to affect them. And on those basis, I want to support Honorable Dikali that we agree with the report and dispose it of.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chet, cover. Like Honorable Ntebe said, the issue of minimum wage, in my understanding, it's a matter that is still being dealt with at the NEDLAC level. Just want you to confirm what I'm saying, or even the department. My understanding is that it is still being dealt with at that level. It's still going to come to Parliament after those processes have been exhausted. But also we have indicated in our last meetings that when we deal with the issues that are, I mean, with the legislation, we should also be get a report of what transpired in the NEDLAC. So when we deal with the national minimum wage, we'll also receive a report of what transpired in the discussion that the social partners are dealing with at that level. Yeah. Thank you very much. So the report is adopted. I will suggest that we defer the minutes of the previous meeting to the next meeting. Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, department, everybody else. The meeting is adjourned. Better not.
Can you sign the ring so they can
follow me, please?
Yeah. Can you sign the ring?
Yeah.